I looked and I searched and I couldn't find a date because it's just a story. Happens every once in a while. It's just a story. An 80-year-old grandfather went to his daughter's house on a Sunday for dinner. And when the meal was over, he announced he was going to take a walk through the old neighborhood. He says, I'll be back in 20 minutes. 2 hours later, he finally returned. And they were kind of wondering what had happened. And he said, sorry, I'm late. But I stopped to talk to an old friend and he wouldn't stop listening. Now, one of the keys to living the Christian life is to never stop listening to one another and to the Lord. We're continuing our series of these practical parables that Christ has given us. And we're focusing today on one of the more well-known stories that it's more often called the parable of the sower. Actually, I like to call this one, I think it's more appropriate to call this one the parable of the four soils. Because the sowing of it is, it's such a minor part. The soils is really the focus. It's found in Matthew chapter 13, so if you want to look there, you can. The verses will also be up on the screen as usual. But we see in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 13 that so many people crowded around Jesus to hear his teaching that he had to get into a boat in order to speak to those who stood on the shore. And he sat down in the boat, and in verse 3 we read this. Then he told them many things in parables. Now these stories, while easy to understand on one level, were sometimes difficult to grasp for someone who wasn't prepared to actually ponder them. And the word parable means to lay beside. And it is the idea of placing two things together in order to teach a spiritual truth. And these incredible super stories are like a mental time bomb, designed to be somewhat unforgettable and then to explode into meaning to those who are serious about listening to the Lord. Now, when we drop down to verse 10, where we read that the disciples asked Jesus a question about this particular teaching method, he says, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus answered them, he says, whoever has been given more, or whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, hearing, they do not hear or understand. In other words, the purpose of a parable is to both reveal and to conceal. Those who don't stop listening and want to understand, the parable reveals amazing truths. But on the other hand, parables are perplexing to those who refuse to actually listen to it and don't give it the time of day. So, in verse 9, Jesus says this, he who has ears, let him hear. If you have ears, please raise your hand. I ask you to hear. We don't have to guess about the meaning of this message because Jesus provides an interpretation for the disciples, beginning in verse 18. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. So let's put this whole thing into context. While he's teaching, it's quite possible that there were some farmers out, you know, from their fields doing planting. And Jesus starts with something that they can understand and moves into something they can't comprehend. In verse 3 it says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Now everyone back there understood, or back then understood how seed sowing worked. The farmer would have a leather pouch across his shoulder, and it was filled with seed, and he would walk down paths in his field and sling out the seed. Just huck it out. Now, I've tried doing this with grass, but I'm not very good at it, right? And this seed would end up in all sorts of places, kind of like when I was doing the grass seed. And some of those places were not so good. Now, whether you're a farmer or a gardener or someone with a green thumb or someone with a not so green thumb, we can all understand this idea of seeds being planted. It's common enough for us all to understand it. So let's take a few moments this morning to discuss what conditions are best for getting a high yield. Let's start by talking about what leads to bad crops, and then we'll focus on what leads to good crops. Now I want to take each of the soils in order, which is found in verses 4 through 8, and we'll read what happened there, and then we'll bounce over to verses 18 to 23 to see how Jesus ties each type of soil to a soul type. These four soils are represented with four different responses to the Word of God. So let's actually read the parable. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seeds. And as he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Now this first soil I would like to call the spoiled soil. It's a hard heart. When we look at verse 4, it says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Now, fields in Palestine were small, separated from one another with paths that were ground and beaten flat by the people and the animals that used them. And the seed that hit this hard ground, it just lay there until the birds came and gobbled it up. Or it was ground into the soil by sandaled feet. This is about the equivalent of throwing out that seed and it landing on our sidewalks. It's just not going to grow. And as Jesus interprets the first soil in verse 19, ask yourself if it describes your soul or someone perhaps that you know. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. When you hear that message about the kingdom and you don't understand it, and it just kind of goes in one ear and out another, it's of no value to you. You don't really care. Satan loves to bring confusion when the gospel is communicated. And according to 2 Corinthians 4, he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ. We're blinded because the devil loves to distract people so that they won't respond to the word of God. In Luke 8:12, we're given more insight into the wiles of the devil who comes and takes away the word so that they may not believe and be saved. In Hebrews 3:13, sin has a way of hardening our hearts. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Procrastination. Pride, stubbornness. These types of things lead to a hard heart. And sometimes when you're sowing the seed, it will feel like the message just bounces off some people. And it could be because the individual is so steeped in sin and so blinded by Satan and so wrapped up in themselves that he or she does not want to understand the message. And incidentally, hardness can happen in the hearts of the children. Children who are raised in Christian homes, when they hear the word but would rather heed to the world. They hear it all the time, all the time, all the time. They hear it, they hear it, they hear it, but it just, whatever. Are there any hard hearts here today? Any spoiled souls? How about the youth? Are you hardened to the word? You've heard it a million times. It doesn't affect you anymore. Are you growing in your faith? Well, next we see what I call the shallow soil. It's an emotional enthusiasm. So let's read it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Now, this type of soil was very shallow and common in Palestine. The rocks are on the surface. They've got to be cleared away every year. But there's just a skim of dirt on top. Much of the land is solid rock in Palestine with just this very thin layer of soil on the top. And the seed can get in there and the crops would spring up quickly, but because there's no root system, they would wither and die. And Jesus explained the shallow soil this way. He says, "The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy." There's this great enthusiasm. Yeah, this is awesome. I love this idea. But since he has no root, he only lasts a short time. Because when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. This is awesome. I love Jesus. It's so amazing. Jesus is dumb. Why do you go to church? Why don't you sleep in? Oh, yeah, that's a, kind of miss that. Huh. You guys know what I'm talking about? They respond to the gospel with great enthusiasm, with emotion, but because they didn't count the cost of being a Christian, they quickly fall away. And this person lasts only a short time. But in actuality, they never were converted in the first place. It was just an emotional response. We could call it convenient Christianity because the person likes the idea of forgiveness and heaven and receiving the blessings of God and God's favor, but doesn't want any difficulties, any distractions from their current lives or the depth of their faith. They don't like that idea. Now, did you notice that it doesn't say if trouble and persecution comes, but when it comes? Trouble and persecution will strengthen true believers, and it also reveals those who have only had an emotional experience. And the Lord reminds me of He reminded me of this week. That this has always been the case for people. Because people bail on Christ when things get hard. And Jesus said this is what's going to happen in John 6. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Because it got tough. I know it's a problem with those who preach a prosperity gospel. Just because there's a pothole or a speed bump in the road doesn't mean that we should give up. I mean, how many of you drive in Winnipeg? Think about it. If you were to stop driving on roads that had potholes or speed bumps or anything like that, I'm not even sure I could get from my house to the church. I would never go anywhere. And yet sadly, many who hear the gospel don't allow its message to really dig in. And thus a shallow soil is what they are. Does it describe anyone here today? Did you have an emotional response some time ago, but now you've kind of fallen away and it's blah? Perhaps you would better identify with the third type of soil. It's the strangled soil. Worries and wealth come in. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Thorns and thistles. weeds rob the soil of water and nutrients, and they cause the crops to fail. And Jesus moves from the weedy soil to the worried souls in verse 22. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. You see, this person is so attached to the world with his worries and wealth that the word is choked out before conversion truly happens. In Luke's account of this parable, we read in Luke 8 that these people are choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. Worry, wealth, and pleasures of this world can strangle the seed. When gardening, have you ever wondered why weeds grow up so quickly? It's because they're native to the soil. And in a similar way, the weeds of worry and deceitfulness of the wealth of this world and the pursuit of pleasure are an endemic on our hearts as well. Have you ever seen someone start out really strong with a huge spiritual interest and then go into the tank because of distractions of this world? I have. You know that it actually happened to the Apostle Paul? Let me rephrase that. He saw it as well. When a man he thought was a believer revealed that he was really wasn't a believer, there was no behavior. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. He truly believed that Demas was with him. But because he loved this world so much, he left. I think that we all know someone who's a worrier. Something happens, and within minutes or sometimes even seconds, they have already concocted one or more worries about that. It's like the young woman who received a proposal from her boyfriend. Darling, I want you to know that I love you more than anything else in this world. I want you to marry me. You know I'm not rich. I don't have a yacht or a Rolls Royce like Johnny Brown, but I do love you with all my heart. Will you marry me? And she thought for a moment, and she replied, I love you with all my heart too, but could you tell me more about Johnny Brown? Are you attracted and yet distracted today? Are you trying to have it both ways? I want to be with Jesus, but man, it would be really nice to make $100,000 a year. I'm drawn over here, and I know if I do this, then Jesus has got to take a back burner. Is that you? Are you being strangled? Or are you the fourth soil, the spiritual soil, the fruitful faith? And only this fourth soil actually bears fruit. It says, still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now back then, a farmer that yielded 10 to 20 times was an incredible crop. To have yields of 100, 60, or 30-fold would be unheard of, unnatural, astonishing. Because Jesus saves the best for last. He says, but the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. And he produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Because he hears and understands. In Luke's version, it says, he holds the word. He listens to the Lord, and then he loves him, and then it leads to living it out. because faith produces fruit. Fruit bearing is the mark of a disciple according to Jesus. In John 15, he said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Remember, I mentioned verse 9 earlier. "He who has ears, let him hear." And I think everybody put up their hands that they have ears. Have you heard? Our Lord is wondering what kind of listener you and I really are. And this word "hear," it's actually used 19 times in chapter 13 alone. Do we hear and heed what he says? If you're not willing to heed what God says, then you won't hear what he says. If you're willing to love God, then you will listen. And spiritual depth comes to those who are personally committed to follow Jesus. And I know our time is growing short here this morning, but I got 7 truths that we need to understand that will allow us to grow deeper. See if they resonate with you so that together we can heed them. I'm going to go through them quickly, but pay attention. Listen. The first one is that the Word of God is not the only thing that produces lasting growth. Or pardon me, not the, wow, I said that one completely. Strike that from the record. The Word of God is the only thing that produces lasting growth. We will unashamedly continue to preach and teach the gospel here at Maranatha. I don't care what the world says, I will continue to preach what the Bible says. Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when the world tells us, you guys are crazy. Awesome. You're just confirming what I already know. I'm crazy for Jesus. I love him. Romans 1:16 says that the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And on a personal level, make sure that you are sowing the seed of God's word into your heart and into the hearts of those around you. Not just your own personal thoughts and your own personal opinions. Those your friends can probably do without. The second thing is we need to sow the seeds of God's word in your children through both formal Bible reading and times that are just informal. Deuteronomy 6 has an amazing passage that speaks of living out the life with your children, where we need to be the model that they need to see, not just the words they need to hear. Because if you're in a family that preaches at your kids, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, but you don't actually live it, your kids are going to harden their hearts. So teach your children. The amazing thing about that is as we're teaching our children, it means we got to know more than they do. So we got to get into the Word ourselves. We got to study it, know it, so that we can live it. The third one is this. Remember that only a small percentage of what is planted actually grows to maturity. If we look at the figures from this parable, about 1 in 4 actually grows to maturity. It actually bears fruit. Don't despair. Keep sowing. I'm going to talk to the teenagers for a second. Am I right? About 25% of what is said is actually getting in there? Huh? About that much. About that much, yeah. Keep doing it. That means if I sow 100 times, then 25 things actually stick. Only a small percentage of what is planted will actually grow to maturity. The fourth one is this. Don't be misled by emotional responses to the gospel. Time will tell if seed landed in good soil. But if you're serious about growing, then it's time to start sowing. Philemon. You know that book that we always read and study from, Philemon? Verse 6 says, I pray that you may act or be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. If you want to understand what we have in Christ, start sharing what you've got. And the more we share, the more we do it, the more we're actually going to realize how much we really have. Our job is to scatter the seed all the time in every place we go. You know that we've got over 400 sermons posted on our website for this very reason? We're scattering the seed. I don't know where it's going. If we had the ability to track how and where it's downloaded around the world, I think that would be cool. Not for my glory, but for His. Point number 6 is this. Pray that God would plow up hard hearts. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So we need to pray that the seed that is scattered falls on good ground. So as we share with our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors and whoever it is that we're encountering, we need to pray for their hearts, that their hearts would be good soil. 7th point is this. Now, our goal at Maranatha is not just to have people make decisions for Christ. We're serious about making disciples for Christ. Our mission is to connect people with Jesus and then to equip them to grow and be faithful, fruitful followers. It takes effort. It takes time. But more than that, it takes you. It takes you because I can't do it alone. The leadership can't do it alone. It takes all of us. So are you scattering seed? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you sharing what Jesus has done for you and is doing for you? Are you showing others, not only by words but by actions, what it's really like to have the joy of the Lord? To have the blessings of God Almighty? Do you share with people or do you keep it to yourself? So I challenge you this morning. Go out and sow some seeds for Christ. Are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you that you are the one who provides the soil, that you gave us the seed of the gospel to teach us. And I pray that you would just help each one of us to go out and sow those seeds. And Father, I pray for the soil that is out there. I pray that the soil would be good soil. That as we share what you do in our lives and who you are and the amazing thing of your grace, as we live out our faith and sow these seeds, Father, I pray that you are preparing the soils, that you would take the hearts of stone and that you would make them good soil. Father, I pray that those who are in the strangled soil, those that are in the shallow soil, Father, I pray that we who are in good soil would continue to encourage them. And that by your Spirit, the soils of their heart would change. That their faith would become fruitful. This we pray in your precious and mighty name. Amen.